The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Our first story kind of starts off talking about school, but ends up being a description of a summer night. The essay writer is Liz Andrzejczyk Biondi, grew up on Reed Hill in Amsterdam, lives now on Long Island, if memory serves. Yes, Lynbrook, New York, I believe that's on Long Island. And her story is called When I Sleep, I Dream of Amsterdam, and she says the title was inspired by the Amsterdam Oratorio by Maria Riccio Bryce. Turning the corner from Hibbert Street to Cornell Street in Amsterdam on a winter morning in January can take your breath away. The wind whips across the Mohawk River and soars straight ahead at full speed, searching for the pinnacle of Reed Hill, St. Stanislaus Church. Next to the church was the convent of the Felician Sisters, who dedicated their lives to teaching the children of Polish Catholic immigrants. Then came the school, the same one that my mother went to before me, and the same one that my sister Gloria and my cousins Mickey and Patty attended. When I was in kindergarten, Gloria was in the fifth grade. She prodded and pulled me down that wind tunnel of a street toward the place where I eventually learned every grammar rule in the English language, which was probably why I later became an English teacher. My sister was always very smart. I hoped I could live up to her reputation. In June of 1959, I graduated from kindergarten and delivered the commencement address before my classmates and our parents, our teacher, Sister Remigius, and the pastor, Monsignor Gospodarek. The freedom of summer was creeping upon us. The evenings were longer now. Our summer routine had begun. The usual parade of little kids and their older brothers and sisters made their way to May's ice cream store for their favorite flavors, then slowly meandered to front porches to sit and talk, to swing on shiny banisters, and to get in another round of hopscotch or stone teacher before it was too dark to see. Every evening was just about the same, except for June 9th, 1959. June 9th, 1959. It was almost 9 p.m. when we returned from our nightly ice cream sojourn to our porch at 17 J Street. Suddenly, the evening sky became a ball of flames. Woody's Warehouse at the Five Corners, where Peddler's Wagon sits today, was on fire. Still holding dripping ice cream cones, our gang of kids started running to get a closer look. Immediately, my clumsy five-year-old fingers dropped my ice cream cone on the sidewalk. I started to cry. Without missing a beat, my sister handed me hers, grabbed my hand, and we kept running. The fire was big, but the love I felt for my sister that night was bigger. My sister always thought of me first. I hoped I would always do the same for her.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass.
And some questions posed in the story. I don't remember the fire, do you? If you do, we have one more story to read. Give us a call and we can talk about it. June 9th, 1959, big fire at Woody's Warehouse at the Five Corners in Amsterdam. I certainly remember May's News and on Reed Hill, because I grew up kind of in the other direction from Liz on Pulaski Street. And as for her sister, I did ask Liz Biondi, who again now lives in Lynbrook, New York, on Long Island, how's her sister? And she says her sister's quite fine, thank you. And she lives out in Liverpool, which is near Syracuse. Stories from the Mohawk Valley, my contest, we announced the winners earlier, four stories from the Mohawk Valley, and we're reading all of them, two a day.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Which we didn't have a heck of a lot of this past winter. But this story has to do with winter in 1966. It's called Snowbound 1966, written by Grace DeChant of Scotia. and it was one of our prize winners. It got the fourth prize in the Stories from the Mohawk Valley contest. Being stranded on a Greyhound bus for 2 days en route to Watertown for student teaching was quite an experience. It began in January of 1966 as a heavy blizzard left its mark on upstate New York. I left Glens Falls on Sunday, January 30th. In Albany, I changed buses, and though it was only 4:30 p.m., we were already surrounded by darkness. Our vehicle was enveloped in snow, but the driver maintained a steady pace. By 7:30, the New York State Thruway was closed, and we were escorted into Canajoharie by state police. Actually, there were two buses in the same predicament that evening. My memory of that first night includes standing in a long line to use the one available payphone, then returning to the security of our bus for a fitful night. Monday morning, a couple of diners did open and breakfast was purchased. We learned that the beechnut plant was closed, a rather rare occurrence, we were told, and so a steady stream of bus travelers replaced the regulars who would have been on the stools and in the booths. Mid-morning, the Masonic Temple was open for us. We found ourselves roaming around its large rooms. We drank coffee, played cards, whiling away the hours. I particularly remember an anxious middle-aged businessman constantly pacing and checking his watch. By mid-afternoon, the realization that we would not be leaving that day began to sink in. We learned from our bus driver that all roads in the county were closed due to blowing and drifting snow. By evening, helpful citizens had found a bed for all of us to sleep in. I stayed with the family across the river in Palatine Bridge. Their son went to a friend's so I could use his room. I slept in my clothes, awaiting a 6 a.m. wake-up call. I've often thought how kind these folks and others like them were to open their homes to strangers and provide us with a comfortable place to sleep that second night of being snowbound. Finally, on Tuesday, we were allowed to leave town and continue our trek northwestward. As we drove through Utica, I noted several businessmen, briefcases in hand, traveling on snowmobiles. Arriving in Watertown, we were greeted with an incredible 120 inches of snow, which had already accumulated for that season.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Grace Deschant from Scotia with her story about being stranded in Canajoharie, one of the prize winners from the Stories from the Mohawk Valley contest. On Stories from the Mohawk Valley tomorrow, we'll have the stories by Cynthia DeGolier of Johnstown. Really remarkable tale recounting how her father, Victor DeGolier, was Amsterdam's first draftee in World War II. That story was one of our prize winners. It became part of the top 10. And when we had the prize ceremony, Cynthia brought her dad, Victor DeGolier, and other members of her family to the library, and it was fun to meet him. Also tomorrow, since we're doing all these stories alphabetically, we'll have a read of our first prize winner, the story by Anne de Groff of Amsterdam, an essay about her great-grandfather, John Vedder Riggs, a local doctor who loved to sing and perform. And the book that started it all, my book, Stories from the Mohawk Valley, The Painted Rocks, The Good Benedict Arnold, and more, is available everywhere. You can find out mail order information on my website, bobcudmore.com. Locally, you can buy signed copies at the Old Peddler's Wagon, 175 Church Street in Amsterdam, and at the Bookhound, 16 East Main Street in Amsterdam.